It's another edition of the Falls Cast brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, where today, Tuesday, December 1st, it is snowy and like 30 degrees, I think, at present.
Yeah.
I was driving down Sackett Avenue, like in the sort of the wildernessy part of Sackett Avenue, you know, down there. And man, it was gorgeous. It was like a winter wonderland.
Go up north a little bit. It sucks.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, we have family up near Lake Menor, and pretty much if we have like 3 or 4 inches, they've got like a foot. So I'm sure it's terrible up there.
It sucks.
Yeah. We are here with some of our favorite Falls casters, including the lovely Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
The equally lovely Bart Sullivan.
Hello.
And my best friend, Mike Searle.
I hate you. Oh, I'm not lovely. Is that how it is? Everyone else is lovely but me.
Everybody already knows that you're lovely, so it's not.
Okay. See?
I don't know about that.
Well, you can break the tension in this relationship with the Rock.
My name is Alex Hall. I will be your moderator / interrupter today. And we're back. I'm back anyway. I wasn't here with you last week, at least not as the moderator type guy. So I'm glad to be back. Thanks for holding down the fort while the inmates were running the asylum and other cliches.
Yes.
On today's Fallscast, we will have Bart's interview with John Fitzgerald of New Milk Studios, which is a cool new art gallery in downtown Cuyahoga Falls. So please stay tuned for that after our roundtable discussion. Any preview of that, Bart? What's your takeaway?
It is an interview in which I talk to John Fitzgerald of New Milk Studios.
That's not a takeaway. That's repeat of what I just said.
That's a teaser.
Don't give it all away.
That is a quality teaser right there.
We discuss art.
Oh my with God. Oh my God.
Bart's art. Bart's art.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're not there yet, but that we'll just preview that. I mean, I think that's great. Our friend Stephen Muley actually did have work on display at New Milk Studios, so we know that they are up and running and doing their thing, and I think everyone should stick around and hear Bart's interview with John Fitzgerald from New Milk Studios.
Yes, they did have an opening this weekend, the first official show at the studios, but there wasn't a big grand opening, you know, opening weekend simply because of Corona. And as a way to keep it safe.
COVID. Wear your mask.
COVID.
Wear your mask.
COVID.
Wear your mask. Wear your mask.
I keep hearing about this COVID thing. I don't know too much about it, though.
It was supposed to go away after the election.
All right.
Well, that sucks, but that's also cool that there's a new art gallery in town. What an artsy town we're becoming.
It is. It's pretty cool.
I love it. Also, please remember that we, that is the Falls Free Press, continue to produce articles. So head on over to fallsfreepress.com to read about, for instance, Toys for Tickets, the Downtown Tree Lighting, and Artists Sunday, courtesy of our own Bart Sullivan, who is also furiously writing his 12 Films of Christmas series, in which he will review one new holiday movie per day on fallsfreepress.com in the lead up to Christmas. Guys, what are your favorite holiday movies?
Die Hard.
Oh my gosh.
Die Hard.
I gotta rewatch it because I've been hearing that it's a Christmas movie for so many years.
It is not a Christmas movie.
It is not my favorite Christmas movie, but it is my favorite Christmas battery.
I see what you did there.
That was good.
I got a charge out of that one. Gotta think positive.
I like the classic cartoons, though. Are we talking about Rudolph the
Red-Nosed? That's not a movie. Right. That's a show. That's special. Not a movie.
I will consider that a movie. Because I wrote about one that's similar with the stop motion animation.
Oh,
and
see?
Even though it's only 45 minutes, I still consider it a movie.
Sad.
Yeah. Well, do you consider a 15-minute collection of music an album? No, you don't.
It's an EP.
It's an EP. Well, listen, my favorite holiday movie, since you all asked.
What is your favorite holiday movie?
Nobody cares. Alex? Nobody cares, Alex.
I have two favorites, and they're equally favorite. Maybe not equally. My most favorite is, of course, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from 1989 with Chevy Chase.
I agree with you.
Beverly D'Angelo. Classic. Randy Quaid, who is a freak show now.
Merry Christmas. The shitter's full.
Merry Christmas, Clark. Shitter's full.
Shitter is full. Speaking of which,
I don't know, Todd.
Speaking of which, there's a great Shitter is Full. It's actually Shitter's Full. Shitter was full. So if we're being okay. But there's a great parking meter decoration downtown that is an homage to Randy Quaid as Cousin Eddie emptying the aforementioned shitter.
They have those at Reverie too. They have a couple signs and a couple Uncle Eddie's down there.
I gotta get one.
Yep. Just little plug for Reverie.
Reverie's awesome. Reverie Love is it. Totally awesome. My other favorite is Scrooged from 1988. Do you guys know this one?
Okay.
Bill Murray.
I just love Bill Murray so much. Like at that point in his career, he was just like if you ever see Little Shop of Horrors, he's got like a cameo where he comes in as a patient of the dentist, played by Steve Martin, and I just the tone of his voice, the way he like yells in like rapturous pleasure as he's getting his teeth drilled, it's like the same era of Bill Murray when he shot Scrooged in 1988, and I just love that movie. He carries it. If they remade that movie now, I don't know that there's an actor who could do it. Maybe Jim Carrey, but I mean,
no, it's not even Jim Carrey.
No.
What about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
You know that I'm not very familiar with that one, but a lot of people do say that one is like their favorite like Thanksgiving movie.
It's kind
of
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot. Yeah, it's more Thanksgiving than Christmas.
Yeah. Get it together, Searle.
All right. I need to mention
Professor Dr.
Elf.
Hall.
Elf. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yes.
I just thought of, right? That's a classic that we have to watch.
Many of memes came from that movie, too, which I love.
Oh, it's a perfect. It's like a one-liner heaven.
I was driving by Rasichi's today, and they have on their sign, they actually have like the meme of Will Ferrell as Elf, and it says, Santa is coming.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
Will Ferrell is somebody he's either really good or really bad. I mean, he's either the movie's great or it's just horrible.
I think it depends on who he's with. I mean, if you think back to like SNL, I really couldn't stand like the stuff that he did with Sherry O'Terry, you know, and like the mall singers and the cheerleaders. I didn't like any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, Celebrity Jeopardy all day.
I think that a rapist for 1,000. That's therapists. Damn you, Trebek.
The More Cowbell, which was a woman.
Oh, that was Christopher Walken.
Yeah. It's a great one.
Yes, yeah.
So, but Bart, yeah, still. Favorite holiday movie?
Christmas Story.
Yeah, Christmas okay. Story. I'll take Classic. That.
Damn you, Bumpuses.
Oh, fudge.
Bah, rah, 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 rah. Oh, fudge.
Also, we want to again encourage our listeners to buy holiday gifts from local artisans and local businesses as much as possible to help carry them through the holiday season and beyond as the coronavirus pandemic continues to hurt these businesses. And honestly, we're speaking of Christmas Story. Hope Soap has these awesome, hilarious candles, and one of them is called O Fudge, and it's just got the glasses with like the you know the shattered glasses. So good.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you guys, what have you bought locally so far, without spoiling gifts for your family members who must obviously be avid listeners of the Fallscast?
Of course they are. I bought from Hope Soap. And let's see, where else have I bought from? Looking at you, Mike, to help me out. Where
we did a Reverie for your brother.
We did. Oh, that's right. We did. We got something for my brother there.
Which, yeah, it was Tequila Mockingbird is a drink recipe book, which everything is literary involved, you know, all the recipes.
Which is perfect for him.
My favorite thing at Reverie is I went in there one time and they had like a little sofa, and on the sofa there was a pillow that said, "We have sex here." And then like you look over and there's another one that said, "And here."
Here. Yep.
Yes.
I love that.
Let's see what
it's
else.
Always fun to go in there.
All Stitched Up. Was that the yarn one, the knitting one? We went there.
That's a great place. They make everything there themselves, and they have like the hats and the scarves and the masks and
purses
from recyclable material.
Do they have merces for Mike?
Yes. It's not a merce. It's a European man bag thing.
That is a great local business. It's a mom and daughter. I think that they do everything there. So check that place out.
Checked out. What was it? Marty's. What's the pet shop down there, Bart? Is it Marty's?
Morty's.
Yep. Yeah, we checked that out. Got a couple of things. Well, granted, for the dogs and cat and whatnot, but
they have cat stuff there too.
Mm-hmm.
Very little. They have a little section in the back, like catnip and some, you know, treats and stuff for them. They have a lot of like all natural stuff for dog or cat.
That's awesome, because I actually was like really curious about that. Usually those kinds of places don't have stuff for cats, and we're a cat family, so
yeah. They had like one little like back wall is dog or cat food, and then like the raw stuff, and then they had like a cat toy display, you know, and very small harnesses and leashes and leads and stuff for cats, you know. So it's primarily, you know, like 90% dogs, but there's like 10% that was geared towards cats with catnip toys. And
well, that's great. I mean, we're such big cat nerds that we actually have like stockings for our cats that we try to put a couple things in every year. So now I can shop locally for my cat treats.
You can. They have cute little
cat joints.
They did have cat joints. It was pretty cute. They have their holiday collars. So if you're looking to get a holiday collar for your dog or your cat, they had those. They were putting out when we were there. So
we just appreciate like how like 50 years ago the idea of a cat joint would have been like appalling to so many people. Now it's like adorable.
It's like the cutest thing ever. Yeah.
What's cool is like even like we found with like All Stitched Up, they'll take custom orders. And if you're looking for something like we're looking for Kaylee for the black and gold Worcester pattern. Because you really can't find College of Worcester stuff except for at their store, the bookstore down there. But she's like, yeah, we'll keep an eye out, or, you know, we'll make something for you, you know. So it's like you can custom request stuff and they'll do it for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Might take a little longer, but, you know, I'd rather have something custom and support a local shop.
Yeah. Bart, where are you getting stuff from locally this year?
I haven't bought anything yet this year.
Oh.
I've usually purchased everything for my relatives this year, and I haven't done anything yet.
Well,
it's 2020.
We got, Harps and Thistles. We got that from my sister, and that was off of Bart's review.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry, Bart's interview, not review.
Yeah, yeah. My wife is an avid crocheter. We've had her on the podcast before. She's pretty amazing at it. We have so many blankets and things in our house that she's made. And she's also like really good at upcycling things and finding ways to repurpose stuff. We had a really cool wall of built-in shelves constructed in our house shortly after we moved in. And there's like a bench seat that is in front of a window. And the bench seat opens up, and there's like all kinds of storage in there, totally filled with yarn and stuff. But on top of the bench seat,
yarn center.
It is. And on top of the bench seat is a really cool like cushion that she made she made all out of jeans. So she took pairs of jeans and cut the same size squares. So they're all different colors, and they sort of like rotated different directions.
All together and stuff.
Yeah. So it looks like it's
kind of like a little quilted kind of thing.
Yeah. It's really
like
cool. And she does all kinds of stuff like that. And I love it. And the Harp and Thistle and All Stitched Up would be great spots for me to shop for her. And
they're really cool.
I got some stuff. I get some candles at Hope Soap. Super into those candles.
Yes.
Picked up some beard oil for my brother's epic beard. and figured
you need a lot of beard oil for that beard.
Yeah, it's quite a beard. He actually, well, so I thought it would be funny. I always try to get him stuff that reminds me of like when we're kids. I take shopping for Christmas presents very seriously. I'm pretty good at it. My wife will always be like, "What are we getting people?" Because she knows I can come up with good presents mm-hmm. for most people. So for my brother, I'll get him stuff that reminds me of like when we were kids. So like, you know, one year I got him a Ramones t-shirt, which was like a blast from the past kind of a thing. And it's always stuff sort of like that, Callahan Auto Parts t-shirt. So this year, because he's got the long beard and the long hair, I got him a Bubba Gump Shrimp Company hat, like Forrest Gump wears in the movie when his hair is all grown up.
Yes.
And I'm going to use it to make a little basket of beard care. So I got him a beard balm and a beard oil from Hope Soap. And then I got a beard oil from our friend Sarah Banjoff, who has the natural body, which is really cool, natural body products that she makes. And so I'm going to put those in the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company hat and then put, like, because I have to mail it to him, I'm going to make it so that when he opens the box, he'll just see a picture of Forrest Gump in the hat with the long hair and beard and be like, "What the hell?" And then, like, you know, and then on the back, it'll say, "I expect pictures," and then he'll pull out, you know. So
nice.
Are you going to find him the 1970s running shorts, too, that he...
Oh, God, no.
Short shorts?
No.
Don't think anybody wants to see that. And furthermore...
No, nobody wants to. No.
Beard oil and beard balm are not cheap. So,
no, they're not.
So he's done. He's got you know, like $30 worth of beard supplies and then, you know, a hat.
Beard balm stuff's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I got it. I actually got some of their beard oil for myself. Very, very happy with it. The last time I bought beard oil, it smelled like straight vegetable oil. This stuff is amazing. And especially right now in the pandemic, you put the mask on and it's like whatever beard oil you've got on, like you're going to be smelling that for a while. That's what,
all day. And I love it.
But it smells good. Yeah. So it's like big ups to Nathan at Hope Soap. And we want to get him on here before the holiday too. I'm thinking maybe we can do like a small business showcase and get a couple of the business owners from downtown that we haven't talked to yet to kind of come on and tell us what special stuff they're doing for the holidays and how people can help them out to you know, carry them through this pandemic crisis that we're still in the midst of.
Yes.
But I also want to just remind everybody, if you haven't already heard, that the high school PTSO, which is like a PTA, will be holding what may be one of the only holiday vendor fairs, at least in Cuyahoga Falls, on December 5th in the high school gym. They have said that they will be following safety protocols and all of that, making people wear masks and everything like that. I assume that there will be still some of these events like at churches and things. Usually my wife and I would like put up in our kitchen like the page from the newspaper that has the schedule of all the craft fairs. They did not print one of those this year that I saw for obvious reasons. I doubt there are that many. I have seen that there are some, but this is the only one I've seen specifically in the city. And of course it supports the high school PTSO. So I think we will try to go to that and see if we can get some more cool locally made stuff there. Also, I got tricked on Etsy. I thought that I was getting something local because it was like locally themed, but it turned out that the artisan who was making it was just using supplies that allowed her to make things that would be sort of like personalized to your geographic area. And because the person that this gift is for might actually be a listener, I don't want to say what it is and spoil the surprise, but it turned out that the person was in Arkansas and not in even in Summit County. So I was kind of bummed about that. But, I mean, better to support an artisan than...
Still a local.
Yeah.
Well, it's still a small artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she actually told me that it was like she lives in the middle of nowhere and she's lucky to have this online business and be able to live where she does around such beautiful scenery. Arkansas really is a beautiful state. I lived there for 2 years myself. Yeah, it's our own Kansas. That's what I used to say. you can support artisans by going on Etsy and stuff too, and I've certainly done that in the past. But to the extent possible, we certainly encourage our listeners to support local businesses. We have just told you about some of our favorites. We also want to remind our listeners that we are always in the market for freelance articles. So if you would like to publish an article with us, please reach out to falsefreepress@gmail.com and pitch us your idea. Frankly, Bart needs competition. So
yes, he does.
His fingers are on fire.
Because we are not doing that. So
because I'm a slacker and I don't write crap.
And I am tired of writing reviews. This was a terrible idea. But it's a terrible idea.
You'll completely forget about it next year and you'll be like, guys, I got a great idea.
I got a great idea. 12 movies of Christmas again.
Right. I only have 3 more to watch, though.
Oh.
I got a great idea for you, Bart. You could do Hallmark movies. Because all 600 Hallmark Christmas movies have the same plot, the same idea, and pretty much you just have to like change the title and put in different character names.
I will watch
names,
every
but they're
single
all
one.
The same.
And I will watch every single one.
Yes, you will. You and Kaylee will sit there and watch it. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh my God, not again.
I have a confession to make. I have never seen a Hallmark movie.
Okay, what? You're lucky.
I've never
you
seen.
Probably one. Have, and you don't know it.
I don't know. I spent the last month watching Dexter. You know, I think I'm going to spend the next couple weeks watching The Mandalorian. I started The Queen's Gambit.
Mandalorian is awesome.
Oh, yeah. The Queen Gambit is so good.
Yeah, I like
so
it.
Good.
My friend, who's a chess fan, didn't like it because he said they don't do what? Anything. It doesn't have anything to do with chess. I'm like, well, it does. He's like, yeah, but they don't even really talk about chess. And I'm like, oh, it's more about the character.
They
He's like, see,
do, but you know what? I heard that every single move that they make is an actual chess move that they had to learn how to move it. So it wasn't just for show. So
yeah,
I don't
well,
know.
It's cool. It's a cool show. I mean. But
it's
guess,
a great show.
I guess my point is, like, I don't usually watch holiday-themed things. I don't like Thanksgiving Day Parade. All that stuff just strikes me as, like...
cliche.
Yeah, cliche. So I just watch whatever I would usually watch. And then, like, on Christmas Eve, usually my wife and I will watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and Scrooged. And then she will show the kids stuff, like... in the evening.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, usually when I'm gone, she'll put on holiday stuff. She likes like the stop motion animation stuff. What's the one with like Burgermeister?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is that the one?
Is he in that one?
What was it again?
Burgermeister.
Oh, yeah. No, that's The Year Without a Santa Claus, I think.
The Year Without Santa, yeah.
Yeah.
Which one's the one with the bubble? The Land of Misfit Toys.
Rudolph.
Is that Rudolph? Because I want to do a Land of Misfit Toys so bad.
But there was also the Will Vinton's Christmas special,
the
which
what?
Featured the California Raisins.
I remember that one. I used to watch that in high school. I remember that one.
That as watching as an adult, I wonder how any child was ever allowed to watch that. Because that is just as scary as... The Adventures of Mark Twain.
What about Star Wars Holiday Special?
Yeah, I have it on DVD.
You do? I actually have never seen it.
I had a very, very nerdy friend in Arkansas who hipped us all to the existence of the Star Wars Holiday Special, and he promptly made us all copies on DVD. Now, I was in a house one night where we were watching this movie, but people were drinking, so we weren't actually watching it, so I didn't really watch it. Then he gave me the DVD. While my wife had been with us, she had managed to ignore everyone and watch the movie at the house we were at. And so now, since she's seen the movie and knows how bad it is, if I try to put it on, she protests. So I still haven't really seen it. Because, you know, even all these years later, if I try to put it on, she's like, she's not having it. And, I mean, it's not like she's, you know, going out of town in 21.
And we'll fire that up on the big screen and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I was going to say, there's a really cool Christmas special on Netflix that was like, I think 2 years ago. It was a Bill Murray, like, variety show Christmas hour. And it's so cool. It's got like, it's got some like random... alternative rock band and Rashida Jones, who you know from Parks and Recreation, and what's that guy, Jason Schwartzman, is in it, and it's got Maya Rudolph sings such a beautiful rendition of one of my favorite songs, probably my favorite Christmas song, which is Darlene Love's Christmas Baby Please Come Home. And it's just Maya Rudolph and a piano on this special, and it just gives me chills. I love the Spectre sound. So anything that's like the Christmas music with the Spectre sound, I'm into it. Like, is it the Ronettes who do Santa Claus is Coming to Town? That whole thing. I love that stuff. So, that's my favorite Christmas song, hands down. Anything like Motown Christmas I love, but especially Christmas Baby Please Come Home. What are you guys' favorite Christmas songs?
Little Drummer Carol. Boy.
Carol of the Bells.
Carol of the Bells is cool. It's almost metal.
Almost.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, almost. Well, and you know, what's that band that everybody loves that does like rock renditions of they tour?
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah. So they do Carol of the Bells, and I think most.
Don't like that version.
You don't like that version? Oh, man.
No. I like the classic, you know, just straight to the point, you know, quick, done.
Yeah. Suzanne, is there a particular version of Little Drummer Boy you like, or just that song?
No. I just like the song. I like the beat. I haven't really heard of one that I have not liked, so.
Do you like when Mike like slaps it out on his stomach?
I do.
Even then?
It's my favorite one, actually.
Oh, wow. It's a glowing review.
It is. Boy. It's my favorite
one. Facebook
we'll
video in our future.
No, nobody wants to see or hear that.
I have tried to get him to sing it for me and play it, but he won't.
Mm-hmm. Nope, because I hate my voice.
Bart,
and I suck.
He would do so well with how deep his voice is. I'm like, he would be perfect for it.
Nope. You can practice your metal scream and do it. Like, do like a genty version.
Genty version. Like Jared Dean's or Dine's.
Yeah. Bart, what's your favorite Christmas song?
I don't really have a favorite Christmas song.
No, enough of that. That's just noise.
It's, I don't hate Christmas music. I just don't have a particular favorite.
All right, well.
As long as it's not Mariah Carey.
Oh, what? Dear God, no.
Really?
I hate that song. Oh, my God.
Oh, you guys hate everything female is what
no,
I feel.
The no, reason I just hate it is because I was haunted by it in Hallmark. Middle school. Every time we would have to run laps, they would play the Mariah Carey Christmas album.
That's
and
fair.
The only thing I think of when I okay. hear that Physical song torture. Is running laps.
You have a pass on that. That's fine.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, we also here at the Falls Cast love to hear your feedback. It makes us feel all warm and fuzzy. Or not. After all, our egos do need massaging sometimes, and sometimes they need to be put in check, too. So please say hello or you guys suck or whatever at fallsfreepress@gmail.com or reach out to us through our Facebook page at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We do love hearing from our listeners, and typically we will shout you out on the Falls Cast if you reach out to us. So drop us a line. One last note before we begin our roundtable discussion. Please be safe this holiday season. The COVID-19 pandemic is not only still here, it is considerably worse and probably going to get even worser. That's not a word. I know.
Worser.
I don't care.
Way to go,
I'm saying it anyway.
But way to go, Dr. Hall.
Yeah. The only way to make it to the end of this crisis is for all of us to be safe out there. This includes wearing masks, social distancing, washing or sanitizing your hands, etc. With the holiday season now fully upon us, it is very important that we not congregate in large groups as we might usually do, because doing so will inevitably lead to spikes in the numbers of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. There's a lot of fear that we're going to start seeing this real soon because of Thanksgiving, and mm-hmm. I'm sure that it's only going to be worse with Christmas. So please consider alternative celebrations this year. Mike and Suzanne, how are you guys celebrating alternatively? Because of the pandemic with your family and whatnot?
Probably a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And that's what we did for Thanksgiving. Called my dad Zoom-wise while we were putting up the Christmas tree and was talking to him. And we'll probably do it again for Christmas. My brother will not be coming down with his family from South Carolina, I'm sure. So we usually get to see him and his family and beautiful, beautiful niece, who is not a baby anymore, but we still call her Baby Joe.
Still call her Baby Joe.
Yes. it's the only time we get to see them, and then sadly, we will not get to see them this year, but we will do a Zoom I'm sure, and catch up that way. And I think that we, as Falls Free Press, are going to be doing something kind of cool for celebrating a Christmas gathering. We won't be able to get together, so we will do a Zoom White Elephant. Is that what we decided to do?
Yeah.
And that should be fun.
Locally sourced White Elephant game. We're going to all buy, you know, up to $20 adult gifts from local businesses and drop them with you guys.
Gifts for adults, not adult gifts. We need to make sure that Mike knows that.
The only
that.
Person who's going to get a quote-unquote adult gift will be Mike.
I'm going straight to Priscilla's, yes.
I think it's Cirilla's.
A roll of toilet paper or Cirilla's, I'm sorry.
Yeah. a roll of
toilet
paper.
You just lost some of your purse cred right there.
Ambiance. Sorry, I just, yeah.
Bart, how are you? Are you going to, like, Zoom with your dad and mom?
Yeah, it's most likely. I don't know how things are going to go. With Thanksgiving, my sister couldn't come up to visit for Thanksgiving because Franklin County, you know, is like the hotbed of corona right now. Ugh. So I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah. I got a paid Zoom account because I got sick of, like, getting cut off after 45 minutes and, you know, usually mid-sentence. So I went ahead and, like, paid for a Zoom account. Not that much money. And
if you didn't ramble so much, you know.
Oh, it's not not just me, man. so we're doing probably what I think we're going to. Well, so my sister-in-law did a really cool thing. She bought matching pajamas for everybody.
That's cool.
So we're all going to wear matching pajamas and get on our Zooms and open our presents. My wife's side of the family, they have like very strict unspoken guidelines for Christmasing. It's not strict. I mean, maybe every family does this and mine just didn't or something, but basically like only one person opens a gift at a time and it goes sort of around in a circle.
Yeah, okay.
Who doesn't do that?
Yeah. Oh, when I was a kid, it was just a free for all. Like, you know, my house, it was just like,
sad.
My dad is still that way. He'll put like five gifts in front of you and it's kind of like, well, wait, we want to see what everybody else is getting, but he just wants people to go for it. So I think maybe just I'm the only one, but, we'll have a Zoom call and we'll do the circle and we'll all be wearing matching pajamas. Apparently I think mine arrived today. My family in Cincinnati, my mother, of course, moved up here and she's in our bubble. So she'll be here in person. My family in Cincinnati, I believe we'll do a Zoom with them. Same thing, open presents and all that. So, hopefully everybody, all our listeners and the good people of Cuyahoga Falls will be safely, gathering via Zoom and other platforms like that for the holiday. In order to, again, keep everything safe and, you know, get this disease the heck out of our hair so we can go back to doing fun things like, you know, shaking hands and giving hugs and whatnot. Yes. So. All right. Let's
drinking in the bars.
Yeah, man. We got to do like a tap talk. I want to go to a brewery. Yes. I mean, ugh, come on. So. And we'll do our thing, too, our White Elephant thing. I think that's a great idea. I'm looking forward to seeing what fun things people buy for one another. When I was a kid and we did it with my dad's side of the family, there was always, like, one joke gift. So they literally, like, somebody had, like, wrapped an old motorcycle helmet and just put it in a box. And every year somebody would get it, and the next year they'd have to bring it back, and somebody else would get it and have to hold on to it for a year.
The revolving, yes.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, so we'll move on to our roundtable discussion then. Okay, so the first thing, COVID-19 has effectively shut down this year's Shop with a Cop program, in which police officers take lucky children who may be in need and or deserve a reward for having fought adversity, etc. Christmas shutdown. Let me say that again. COVID-19 has effectively shut down this year's Shop with a Cop program, in which police officers take lucky children who may be in need and or deserve a reward for having fought adversity, etc., Christmas shopping. Still, a lot of the city police departments in the county are doing their own pandemic-safe version of the event, and the Falls Police Department is planning their own version of the event, and they've already selected families who may need help. who may need the help, that is, from getting, you know, some Christmas goodies. So the officers will actually, instead of taking a child with them to a store to do some Christmas shopping, they'll actually just buy items on a family's Christmas list, and then also like gift cards for groceries and stuff like that that they may need as well. So this is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that they're still doing something. That's always a cool event for the kids. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can be the web blanket here and say I wish we'd be charitable all year round. But I do think that it's cool that they're going to continue doing this program, and I know that I think the police officers look forward to it just as much as the families do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they do.
Toys for Tickets is going on again this year, though it does seem like a bit of a misnomer. The press release says that officers will issue toy waivers in lieu of traffic warnings, not tickets. So don't expect to exchange a brand new Magna Doodle instead of having to pay that fine you got for doing 40 on Oakwood.
Yeah, Mike.
I was naked running down the street. If I'm doing 40 naked running down the street, I should be able to, like, just give a toy in for that. I mean, come on.
If you're not in a car and you're running 40 miles an hour down the street in this temperature.
Yes.
You're already a superhero. <Yeah. laughs>
You ought to be able to get away from the police at that point, too. Like, you know, cut through some yards. So I don't know if traffic warnings. I mean, I've only ever gotten one, like, warning for a traffic stop. I don't know if they get recorded or even like really affect drivers in any way. So it kind of seems like, I mean, if ordinarily you would get a traffic warning and that's the whole extent of what happens to you, but now you can exchange a toy for a traffic warning. It doesn't seem like you're really like exchanging anything. So I mean, you know, on the one hand, it's like, if that's the case, then why would you bother buying the toy? Especially when it's on the honor system, as Bart reported in the article on falsefreepress.com, like you don't even, it's not like anybody even goes and checks to see if you actually bought the toy, right? It's just, you know, the honor system.
How do you, if you do buy a toy or something like that, do you just drop it off at City Hall or?
Yes.
The police office? Okay.
Yeah.
That's how I was curious. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where do you drop the stuff off at?
Yeah, I mean, my sense is that, I mean, you know, for one thing, I think traffic citations are a pretty significant portion of the city's revenue. So it's not like they're just going to, you know, get rid of that writ large.
Yeah.
But I do think probably what's going on here is that this is like a symbolic way to try and get people to be charitable around the holidays. You get pulled over by a cop for doing, you know, 10 over.
35 on Portage.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, that he's like, okay, well, I'm going to let you go with a warning. But you know, then he hands you a piece of paper that says maybe you should donate a toy to the charity drive here, Toys for Tickets. Then, so I mean, you know, I think it's nice, that's probably all it's really meant to be. But Toys for Tickets, I think, is not quite like what it really is.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe there'll be a ton of toys.
I hope so. One COVID-safe holiday activity that has not been affected by the pandemic is decorating houses with lights, which the city encourages by way of a holiday decorating tour and contest. The city's NECO office, that's the Department of Neighborhood Excellence Communications and Community Outreach, for those of you who are paying attention, is partnering with neighborhood ambassadors to create a contest that will judge entered houses between the 8th and the 10th of this month. In addition, the city will create a tour map of the displays, and all you have to do to be listed is register by December 21st by visiting the city website, calling or emailing. I actually had the pleasure of being a judge a couple years ago in this, so it was myself and Debbie Zaccardi, our friend, rode around in a car and went to, we went through an entire ward, basically. And found as many displays as we could and took pictures. And was our friend Gary DeReamer, who used to sit on the city council in Ward 6 and has run a couple times since then, is a fine, upstanding member of our community, who originated this contest and who partners with the city, along with other neighborhood ambassadors. And he would actually go through all the entries at that time and choose the winners based on what the judges sent in. And then they would get like a cool prize. It might be like a Home Depot gift card or, you know, a gift certificate for dinner at, you know, one of the local restaurants or something like that. Have you guys decorated your houses?
Inside, not outside yet.
Yeah, not yet. Normally I do. I think last year I skipped decorating. I can't remember.
But, I think you might have just did some house lights, but not much.
Yeah, I didn't do a lot. I mean, yeah, usually I decorate the whole front, you know, with the sand, a train display and the icicle lights and presents under the tree and the Santa's mailbox and blah, blah, blah. But I still want to do the Land of Misfit Toys, make it look like the yard puked Christmas over there. But
we put up a Christmas tree for the first time in a couple of years, at least like a somewhat normal sized Christmas tree. And the reason we hadn't put one up for the last few years is because we had kids who couldn't be trusted because they were too young, not to mention cats. We're up to four cats.
Yes.
Four cats is, I know that sounds like a lot, but I mean, we rescued our fourth cat from a house in Akron that literally had 80 cats. So we were just, that was our way of doing something somewhat charitable. We're animal lovers.
He's a cool cat.
He's pretty awesome. So yeah, we're hopeful that Lemur is not going to mess with the tree. And so far we've been pretty lucky with that. The other cats named Vader and Helmet, they've never seen a Christmas tree, at least not one like the one we have that's like out where they can reach it and everything, until this year. And they've actually been pretty cool about it too. Surprisingly. Really? Yeah.
I was going to say, I could see Vader climbing that thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at very first that it was touch and go. We weren't sure, you know, if it was going to last, but we've got it so you can see it through the window, and we framed out the window with
lights. We drove by your house, and then we're like, hey, he has a Christmas tree and some lights out. So
first time in a couple years, and then we put some stuff on the inside too. I think we decorate for brown season about as much as we do for Christmas. So by the time Christmas Day rolls around, there's like as many Browns decorations as there are Christmas decorations, and you know, and I'm not apologizing for that. I just, you know. Come from Cincinnati. I was converted to being a Browns fan. F the Steelers and moving on.
Whoa.
Wow. So Steelers gear for you. Gotcha. That's what you're getting for Christmas.
Have you guys checked out any of the displays though that are around the city?
We haven't drove around yet. I mean, we will, even though our kids are adult kids, as Mike likes to remind me. We'll do it.
There's a house on Washington that has
decorations are eternal. It does not matter how young or old you are. Yeah, they can still be gorgeous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is a house down. This is not local, but it's from where I was.
Oh, down there?
Yeah, where I grew up. And we go every year. We obviously won't be able to go this year after we visit my parents. And these people just have like their whole, I mean, they have probably an acre worth of land that they just have professional lights and everything. It's
more than that.
You think? It's just insane.
It's more than
that. It's insane. But we haven't gone around town yet. We will, though.
I mean, when you're driving slowly, like at 5 miles an hour, it takes you a good 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes to get, you know, through that to see all the lights. Mm-hmm. And that's just somebody's house. You know, it's crazy.
It is. It's crazy. But yeah, we haven't gone around town yet, so we'll do that.
There is a house. I think the one that Mike was referencing is actually on Lincoln.
That's not the one.
Are you talking about the one that's like it's synced with music?
No. I'm talking about the one on Washington.
Really, there's one
that has like all the inflatables.
Is it the same house that does all the Halloween stuff?
Yes.
I know that.
Yes. Now, I haven't seen the one on Lincoln, though.
Oh, Lincoln. No. So they the year that that Debbie and I were judges, we were in that ward, and that's the house that won. They do it every year. It's on Lincoln going, you know, between Oakwood and going toward Bailey, just a couple blocks from Oakwood, actually. You can't miss it. it's going.
Oh, we're gonna go find that now.
The trick is when you get to the house, you then you know, you go up and around the block and then park across the street so that you can face it. But they have a radio station you tune to. I think it's 89.7, maybe even, or 88.7. Mm-hmm. It's a good music selection even. I mean, they do a great job. And it's not the only one. There's another one. One of those streets back, not too far from where Bart's dad lives, over in Ward 1.
On Talmadge Road, like down towards Rockneys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is
on
more
the
left-hand
side. He does a real good job.
Yeah, this one's more tucked away. It's like if you're on Portage Trail, and you turn right once you cross the bridge, so that you're on Newberry.
Okay.
And you turn left by the dialysis place. There's a nursing home up there. You turn left and you go up that hill. And then as you get up the hill, I can't remember the name of the street, but as you get up the hill, if you look off to your right, you'll see it. You have to make a right, and then go left, but you can't miss it. It's very, very bright, and it's also synced to music. So those are the two that we've gone to see so far with my family. We did that, I think, on Black Friday, or maybe on Saturday. So there's some great displays around the city. Bart, are we missing any? Have you seen any?
I haven't gone out to look at any so far. I'm hoping this weekend the snow will have somewhat passed away, then I can drive around.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah. It was getting bad on the way when I was out there at like 5:20. It was starting to come down really hard, so I think we're in for a big night of snow here, actually. So yeah, the city's going to be, you know, spotlighting a lot of these holiday displays by way of prizes, and then also by putting out this map so people can go check out the displays that register themselves with the city. And we can put that link on our Facebook page for people to go check out. So on Friday, Mayor Don Walters, joined by none other than Santa, lit the city's Christmas tree on Falls River Square in a video presentation due to COVID. It was hilariously awkward, and it captured the holiday spirit in the best 2020 way possible. Afterward, the city posted a second video in which the mayor read Chris Van Allsburg's The Polar Express by Fireside. And yeah, the mayor was either really feeling the holiday spirit or he was trying to comfort the city given the situation this year. He was even wearing a Christmas tie, but there was not a lot of like communication between the mayor and Santa. So
yeah, I saw that. Yeah. The lighting, it was kind of awkward.
Yeah, you couldn't really even see his face. But I mean, you know, I'm so glad they did that. And I watched it with my kids. Actually, today we didn't watch it on Black Friday, but we watched it today, and I was cracking up. And I mean, you know, I don't care if I was cracking up because it was awkward or because I was like, you know, moved. It doesn't matter. We all need a laugh this year, and they delivered intentionally or unintentionally. Did you guys see it?
Wait, I saw the tree lighting. I didn't see where he read, but. It was a little awkward where Santa came in kind of like,
oh, I'm supposed to be here.
It's like,
do I say, it's like a deer in headlights. Do I go? Do I say, do I go?
But it was great. I thought it was great. I am glad that they did that. And
yeah, for sure. I know.
I got a chuckle out of it.
I think we were all actually there last year.
Yeah, we were on the parking deck up top. You know, filming from above.
My mom was in town. She didn't live here yet. She came. She always would come up for Thanksgiving, for our vegetarian Thanksgiving by herself and hang out with us. She went to Black Friday, the tree lighting with us, and we were there with, like, you know, Councilman Mike Brillhart, Councilwoman Mary Nichols Rhodes. I think the finance director, Brian Hoffman, was right there with us, and community development director, Diana Colavecchio. I mean, just, you know, it was a who's who, you know.
It was. And that was only last year. That's hard to believe.
Yeah,
I know. How much has changed in just one year.
So I guess here's an interesting question then. Does anybody want to take a stab at whether they think there will be an in-person tree lighting next year?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to, fingers crossed, things are somewhat back to normal by middle of next year.
Yeah.
Or at least by the end of next year that we could have, you know.
Enough people vaccinated and whatnot. I was going to say a mask full,
an entire event where everyone's wearing masks, but that's like the equivalent of popping a bag of popcorn and all the kernels being good.
Yeah.
It's a great analogy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys are saying yes because you hope or because you really believe. But I
think we might.
I think a little bit of both. Yeah, I mean, I think hopefully by Christmas, you know, we will have gotten to a point by then that we can gather. Maybe still with masks, but at least, you know, feel a little bit better.
I think in summertime that we might actually start getting a little bit where the vaccines are coming out, where the majority of people can start getting them. I'm hoping.
You and me both, lady.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys know what it's time for now? Cue the music.
Sparts art, sparts art, sparts art, sparts art.
As Bart takes his hat.
He is really face-palming pretty hard right now.
Yes.
That was the best one I've done.
Changed my name.
What?
We'll still call you Bart.
It would still be Bart's Art, Bart's Art.
Yeah, be an inside joke with our listeners. I thought this guy's name was Richard.
No, it's because we call you a dick, Alex.
Oh!
I was waiting for that.
Explicit rating.
That's
sorry.
Sad.
Too far. Too far. Sorry.
My thick skin has been grown thanks to Mike.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bart. What's the matter?
What's going on, Bart?
Christmas got your tongue?
I come on this podcast.
He keeps coming back.
I read all these articles, and then they treat me like crap.
It's just that Mike guy. He's so annoying.
I might be very glad that I can't make next week.
Oh, no. You can't make next week? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Who's going to do arts? We'll have to come up with a song. Oh, I don't know.
Mike's arts.
Mike's arts. Oh, Mike's no. arts.
Proceed, Bart.
We've got two things in the arts department this week. The parking meters on Parade. We don't have a voting link yet, but Steven took a bunch of great photos that are up on our Facebook page.
He did. Yeah. They are awesome looking.
And that's only a portion of what's down there right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, you know, we talked about Cousin Eddie, which I love. It didn't come out as well as I think the people who came up with it probably hoped. It's just sort of a mannequin, you know, in a robe.
We all know what it is.
Yeah,
I
appreciate, if nothing else, the reference. But I think my favorite one is probably because I knew somebody had to do it, and I would have been so disappointed if somebody didn't do it. Is the leg lamp from A Christmas Story?
Yes.
With the package and everything, like the same shade.
It is so good.
I believe that was the works because it has their logo on the.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that is awesome. I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Grinch.
There's so many good ones. Yeah, there's the Grinch. Yeah,
that Grinch one was amazing also.
Grinch is really good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, and they have they look like packages, like Christmas packages and candy canes. And it was just a great idea. I absolutely loved walking downtown last week.
Yeah, our friend, our friend Carrie Snyder, who works for the NECO office, which I spelled out that acronym a little while ago, her husband is really handy as a carpenter, mm-hmm. and she and he made a really cool one that's like penguins stacked on top of each
mm-hmm.
other.
Penguins, yeah.
I really
yeah.
like
really
that
cool.
one. You know, Carrie's a friend, and she helps out with the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. So maybe I'm biased, but I thought that turned out really cool. It's really cute, and you know, I also follow her on Instagram, And to see sort of like her telling of how it all went down, it's like she just sort of like mentioned to him like, hey, we're going to do this. And like, you know, next thing she knows, he's in the workshop drawing up, you know, penguins. So that I really like that one a lot. Any honorable mentions we're forgetting?
I can't remember. I mean, we were down there, but it's like I don't remember.
Yeah.
What all was down there?
Well, the Kiwanis did a really cool snowman out of tires that I liked.
Oh, they're the ones that
opened. That one was good.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
There was not one that I thought was ugly. Let's put it that way. They were all very cute and just creative and very impressive. And I don't know how anybody's going to pick a winner on them.
I completely agree.
Yeah. It was wonderful. I love the idea. I hope we do this every year. I think it's a great idea. And you get to park for free. So,
yeah, bonus. So, Bart, explain again. They're going to put up pictures, like better pictures of them all.
Yes. Somebody from the NECO office, I believe, is going to be, or you know, and someone from the city in general, is going to take pictures, and then there will be voting online on the city's website. So you can go online and vote for your favorite parking meter.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
And in other arts news, the Cauga Valley Arts Center is holding a fundraiser through the end of the month to help them continue running in 2021.
Man.
After reducing hours, making most of the programming online, they increased staffing for cleaning and enhanced learning online. Postponed a lot of their programs because they have to happen, you know, in-house. That means a lot of people haven't really, you know, signed up for memberships or signed up for classes. So they haven't been running on a whole lot of money this year. Plus, you know, however long the long time that they were closed at the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then finally opening up to, you know, the short periods of time. So they are having a fundraiser through the end of the month. You can donate on their link on Facebook, over the phone with a credit card, or you can mail a check to them. And all that information is available on their website and on their Facebook page.
Well, I'm going to send in a couple bucks. I think the thing that would be the most sad part of the pandemic, you know, for our community would be, you know, for us to come to the other side of this thing and have lost, you know, some businesses who at that point won't be able to get back. You know, the Cuyahoga Valley Arts Center has been there for a long time, and they have been very supportive of the arts in the community. You know, students, I can't tell you how many times during a festival I walked by and they had some little free craft for my kids to do, you know, or some little thing to hand out. I mean, they're really, I think it's important for us to come together as a community and make sure that not only CVCA or CVAC, sorry, you know, is able to stay open, but to make sure that there's no business in Cuyahoga Falls that, you know, fades away because of this thing. So, so we would of course encourage all of our listeners to go and, give a couple bucks, to the Cuyahoga Valley Arts Center. And honestly, there are so many little things you can do in the community to help out during the pandemic and anytime really. I mean, I gave $5 today to a GoFundMe because, some poor woman in the Falls, had her dog run over by a car.
I heard about that.
It was on Thanksgiving Eve, I think, and apparently horrible. The person hit the dog, kept driving. This is a beloved pet. They were able to save this dog. It was in surgery. She said that it didn't actually end up affecting the life expectancy of the dog. So,
that's good.
So it's going to recover in spite of all the like crazy stuff that happened. But I mean, it's like a $10,000 surgery, vet bill, you know. And I'm just like, man. You know, this sort of thing is really what community is about. So, you know, whether it's helping this lady, I don't want this lady to ever look at that dog and be reminded of like the financial hardship that came about as a result of having to save it because some jerk didn't stop, you know, when it hit this lady's dog. any more than I want Cuyahoga Valley Art Center to have to close its doors. So I hope that everybody listening will chip in some dough.
Well, it's kind of like that meme you that's been going around, or especially back in March. You know, it's like all those businesses that support your little league team or your soccer team or this team or whatever. And now it's time for us to support them. You know, it's, you know, give back to the ones who supported you so you could play your sports or do whatever, you know.
Yeah. And then we had a couple of businesses, like you look at like Kraft, for instance. It was Burger and Sprout, the company. I think it's Karam. Mm-hmm. Who actually bought Kraft and turned it into Kraft Social.
Was it Karam or was it Testa?
Maybe it's Testa. Yeah, it's one of those two. Between the two of them, they own a significant portion of Cuyahoga Falls.
Mm-hmm.
I think if that Staff Finders ever closes, and they'll just take that whole building over. You saw that, and we saw Pavs actually close down and reopen. We've seen other businesses. I mean, you look at somebody like The Works. That business, the development of that business, they've spent so much money. We had Tim Frankish on the show. Mm-hmm. By the time they get their doors open, they're not going to be able to let anybody in probably because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we don't want a business like that, that's such a huge investment, such a significant, reconstruction of that historic building. To fade away. So luckily we've seen a lot of the businesses who have struggled be able to survive. You look at Upfront Art Space. I mean, they actually moved from one location to another location even.
Mm-hmm.
In the arts, unfortunately, I think in the middle of a pandemic like this, where there's some economic uncertainty, arts may not be at the forefront of the imaginations of every community member. Any more, certainly less than they were before the pandemic. And we were talking at the beginning of the podcast here about how artsy our community is becoming and how great that is. So hopefully we can support that initiative, in this case by supporting an art house that needs our help. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well said.
Thank you.
Mm-mm. You're welcome.
I hate you.
He anything
really
else,
doesn't
Bart?
Hate you.
Nope, that's it.
All right. We want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. Do you have an idea for someone you think we should interview? ? If so, drop us a line at fallsfreepress@gmail.com. And please remember that we are always in the market for article submissions, too. Which can also be sent to falsefreepress@gmail.com.
Because Bart is tired of carrying the whole thing.
He is.
We shifted our focus in a lot of ways to the Falls Cast, which I'm actually really happy. One thing we have somehow not said until right now is that this is our 25th episode of the Falls Cast.
Oh, my gosh. People have been listening to us for 25 weeks.
And we have not skipped a week since
we
started.
We've been doing 25.
I don't think we skipped a single week. I mean, you know.
Mm-mm. A couple weeks we did.
Yeah, there were a couple, I thought.
I don't
really?
Think so. I don't think we've ever skipped a week. There were a couple weeks that I couldn't come in and you guys.
A couple weeks ago we skipped.
Yeah, there was two interviews that we did instead of actually doing a podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still an episode.
There was no roundtable discussion.
Yeah, but it's still an episode.
It's still an episode that we put out.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, for instance, when we spoke to the zoo about the blue crab, that was just an interview.
Alex has crabs.
I wonder how that crab is doing.
It
lobster.
Wasn't even a crab. I said crab. It was a lobster. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how he's doing. He's not being a crab.
Turned into a crab. Oh, shit.
Wow.
I think we need an update on this lobster.
Was it a she?
My goodness. Yeah.
Claudia.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Claudia.
We're falling
Claudette,
apart. 25 and we're falling apart
already. Claudette, yes.
I think it might have ended up being Claudia, but. I'll reach out to the zoo. I have the contact information for the nice lady who came and spoke to us, who is the caregiver for the blue lobster. I do. I have a direct line to the zoo.
He's very important.
You have a direct line to Santa also?
I meant to say this earlier, but Mike, are you sitting down?
Maybe.
There's no Santa.
What? Now I totally 100% hate you.
What?
I will shave.
Oh, that is.
They don't call me
sad.
Dream Crusher for nothing.
I have been keeping that from him for so long, and you just busted it.
Thanks. Suppose there's no Easter Bunny and no Tooth Fairy, and great.
Well, Kaylee told me that she knew when she was little that there was no Tooth Fairy because I was too cheap to give her money for a tooth. And I was like, you're right.
Actually, there is a Tooth Fairy, and his name is Dwayne the Rock Johnson. So.
Ah, yes, sure, and a little tutu, pink tutu. It was a great movie.
The problem is that after he leaves the money under your pillow, he has to yell, "If you smell!"
What the Tooth Fairy? That's good.
And then he does like the people's eyebrows. He like jumps up. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's good. You can do it. There's no video for our listeners, but Mike actually can do the people's eyebrow.
Yeah.
Good. Probably do the people's elbow.
Can you do
too.
The pecs now, please?
I wish.
Oh, darn it.
If my man boobs are that big.
This is definitely very entertaining for the people that are listening to us.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, Bart. What are you saying? I think it probably is. My kids and wife downstairs are probably wondering why I'm, you know, doing like taunts from The Rock while we're recording.
Your wife's going to be like, I know he's not doing the podcast up there. Yeah. He's watching wrestling.
What's up, Bo?
Can't remember the last time I actually watched wrestling. I just do all the catchphrases.
Do you?
I do. I do.
Suck it.
Last time I watched wrestling was like Hulk Hogan and the guy with the rubber bands in his beard.
Ultimate Warrior?
I don't remember. I just remember he had like little rubber bands in his beard. Do you remember that one?
Well, was that, I can't remember if it was Ultimate Warrior or was that Captain Lou Albano?
I don't know.
That was when before we knew it was fake.
Oh, we didn't know back then?
Okay, this is how old I am. Yeah, no, we did not know. It was a big thing.
I'm pretty sure we knew. I'm pretty sure we always knew.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah.
George Animal Steel.
George Animal Steel and what's his face? Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I do not insult any professional wrestlers. But
Bushwhackers.
Oh, man. I hope we have wrestling fans on this episode.
I hope not, because he's meditating. He's like, please, just let
he's
me
like,
get through
oh, my
this.
God. We were so close to the end.
We almost made it.
I will kill them all in their sleep.
Oh, man.
Oh, so for now, we will say goodbye, and we hope you'll join us next week. Please stay tuned for our interview with John Fitzgerald of New Milk Studios, and lest we forget, wear a mask, wash your hands,
the right way, please.
Socially distance, and did we mention wear a mask? It goes over your nose.
Over the nose.
Wear a mask.
And not only your nose.
Your mouth.
It does not go over your eyes.
No.
Especially when you're driving.
You're not, yeah.
Where's the fun of that?
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, I was running down the street naked at 40 miles an hour with my mask on. I couldn't help it.
On his eyes. And then he jumped over my fence. It was a whole thing.
It's crazy. Crazy times.
Hey, what's up, dude?
It was 2020. 2020 in a nutshell, running down the street naked at 40 miles an hour with a mask over your eyes.
Oh, man.
Only if I was on fire.
So wear that mask over your nose, socially distance, wash your hands, be safe. We do love you. We want you to be alive and healthy. So that's it. We'll see you. Say bye.
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 And we're here today with Josh Fitzgerald from New Milk Studios. Thank you for being on the show this week.
Oh, thanks for having me here. I appreciate the invite and the opportunity to kind of give you guys a little bit of a rundown on what we're doing here.
So for anyone who hasn't heard of New Milk Studios, I know you're very new. What is the studio?
Okay, it's kind of like an art center. We primarily are focused on photography. We have a beginner and intermediate photography classes that we're going to fire up in January, pandemic restrictions considered. We can also probably do it virtually as well. We have plenty of room to have 6 to 8 people spaced apart. So we're going to have beginner photography classes and intermediate. Each one of those courses is 8 weeks, once a week for 2 hours at a time. And then we're going to have workshops for advanced photography techniques. And we also have 2 studios, a 760 square foot studio and a 220 square foot studio with 16 foot high ceilings that are rentable to other photographers hourly or daily. These come fully equipped with backdrops, lights, props, anything that you need. So essentially a photographer would just have to bring their camera and their client. And then our exhibition gallery, we have 2,000 square feet of wall space that is going to have alternating exhibits with a new exhibit every 6 weeks. Now, the exhibition gallery is open to all mediums. So we're right now hanging our first exhibit, which is going to be open, a soft opening, though, no grand huge soiree or anything. But we're just going to have, it's going to be hanging from November 27th until December 30th. So that's pretty much it. We just like a photography and an art center where we really want to be a part of and help boost the art scene locally. But our primary purpose here at New Milk Studios is to offer tools and ways that artists can experience growth and in networking.
Awesome. So how long have you been I'm assuming you're a photographer, as that's the focus of the studio.
Yeah.
How long have you been a photographer?
Well, I've been an artist, I guess, but not professionally. I was a tattoo artist professionally for a while, but since I was a little kid, I saw M.C. Escher drawing. And M.C. Escher just really blew my mind with his perspectives and stuff. So I never took off as an artist really professionally, though, until I found photography about 4 years ago. I've been a photographer about 4 years.
You mentioned that, you know, like seeing M.C. Escher drawings inspired you. What interests you about taking photos or just working in art in general?
For me, photography, I'm not the kind of artist that can, I was always jealous of artists who can get a sketchbook and do a quick rendering of something and it like looks amazing. And then they can shade it, rub some pencil with their finger. And then by the end of the day, have a completed piece. Where something like that always took me so long. Cause I was just like so meticulous about all the details. So all forms of art that I ever delved into was really time consuming. And so the pay value was never there, but with photography, I found a way to capture like what I see, and my turnaround time is a lot quicker with photography, but the learning process isn't as fast. I'm still learning, but I need to express myself creatively somehow. I need to. And I remember the first time that I got accepted into an art exhibit, that just felt so good when I saw my piece hanging next to someone else's piece who's like a substantial, successful artist. It just like, it really felt good. And then I can remember wrestling with a new technique, whether it's with painting or with photography or whatever, trying to figure out how to make something happen or how did this photographer do this? And just really racking my brain, trying to learn a technique. But then when somebody would help me, whether it was a YouTube tutorial or one of my mentors or somebody at the New York Institute of Photography, when I would learn that technique, man, it just felt good. Like it felt really good and a sense of accomplishment. And those are the kind of things that I want to offer here at New Milk Studios, whether it's your education, whether it's getting your piece hung on in an exhibit, whether it be, you know, a photographer that needs a studio that doesn't have the means to afford one all the time. Like I want to be able to offer that.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I know a lot of photographers like to use different locations on Front Street a lot for their pieces. I know I've seen quite a few over the years, different senior photos that seem to often take place on the stairs of 2091. That seems to be a popular location for some people, and it is hard for people who do live there to get down the steps. So I like the fact that you're offering backdrops and props for people to use as they're taking photos.
Yeah, in fact, we had Jarvis Landry's photographer. He's a guy that plays for the Cleveland Browns. His photographer, they came in here and they rented the studio, not for Mr. Landry, of course, but it was, they brought a model in here, but we set up some backdrops. We set up both studios with things, and the photographer was going in and out. So they'd do some, they'd make a change in wardrobe and a change in makeup, do some studio shots, go across the street to the river, come back in, change, go to the parking deck, come back in, do some studio shots. So yeah, it's definitely a great place. And the Green Wall at 2091 is definitely famous. Definitely.
You mentioned you have different classes. What are the classes that you're going to be offering when you can have more people in there?
Okay, so the beginner's photography class is going to be somebody who just has no idea at all what to do with their camera. One thing that we're always going to promote is to use manual mode. We're never going to promote using automated camera modes. But a beginner's photographer would be able to come in here, learn about the camera as a machine, as a tool, or learn how to manipulate the different settings within the camera to produce the effect that they want, and also learn about composition and ground level lighting. In each class, we're also going to have like class time, and then we're all going to go out by the river, or we're going to walk up and down Front Street and try to tackle some projects and some assignments during that 2-hour time. And then the intermediate photography class is going to get more in depth, how to do some super creative things, how to make people look like they're levitating. And we're going to get more into studio lighting, how to pose models and stuff like that. So somebody could have no knowledge of a camera or how to work it, and after our beginner's course would definitely be able to have something hang on the wall, I'd say.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, when did the gallery, when did you first open the gallery?
I guess the exhibition gallery opened on like November 4th, I think. J.W. Cooper brought in his traveling exhibit called Fall of the Mammoths. So we've had that up since like November 4th, but it's officially opening November 27th with, we're going to still have the Fall of the Mammoths exhibit on one side of the gallery. And then we're going to have the Feeling and Healing, the Art of 2020 on the other wall. And it's juried by Amy Mothersbaugh, formerly of 2091 fame. We love Amy, and she's been super helpful with this. There's been a lot of people on board. We got the old exhibition coordinator, Taylor Clapp from Summit Art Space. She has graciously given some of her time to help us along the way to make sure that we do all this right. But to answer your question, I guess officially November 27th, just in time for Small Business Saturday. So hopefully if everybody wears masks and stays safe, we can see some of you guys.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned the Feelings and Healings show. What was the idea behind that show?
The idea behind Feeling and Healing was the central fact that 2020, I believe, is tailored for artists. Because I think after, 100 years from now, the newscasts, the political views and all that stuff, when all that blows away, what we're going to be left with is the art from this time. The art is going to continue to tell the story. And while I know some people have been struggling during the shutdown to create things, myself and many other artists who I associate with, we've found the government shutdown, a global pandemic, financial insecurities, economic ruin. There's been political unrest. There's been division amongst our countrymen, in our own country. People are so more divided than ever before. But along with those tragic things, there's also been a lot of stories of people going out of their way to help the food banks, healthcare workers and what they're doing. There's also lots of good stories of people coming together and trying to break through the division and peaceful protesting. And I don't know. I just think that like 2020, if I'm an artist in 2020 and I'm not finding any inspiration or reason to create, maybe I should rethink my position as an artist. And I just knew that there was tons of people that have been creating during this time. So that was what the call for artists was. It was to have people who have been creating during this time to turn it in. We want to see what they've been making. And then it's for the people who love art, people who heal through viewing art and being a part of art. We want to offer that to them as well, because as artists and as people who love art, like, we can come together and not only help each other get through this time, but help each other tell this story many years from now.
Wow. Okay. That is beyond what I would have even considered.
Yeah, we've got some pieces. Like, there's some digital portraiture that an artist did of people who unfortunately died during this time. There are pieces that just talk about the being feeling fenced in and caged in. And there's definitely some really heavy, fantastic, but highly emotional pieces in this show. And we're really looking forward to showing it and having other people be able to come here and see that and connect with the reality of what COVID and politics and racism and everything and how these are affecting us on a daily life. There's lots of pieces here. It's going to be a very emotional show.
Aside from the show with COVID at its center, how has the pandemic affected the gallery? Especially when you've been opening up right when it's gotten the highest in Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, we really regulate how many people are in here at a time. We don't, right now we've been keeping it to like 4 or 5 people, but there hasn't been exactly a line out the door. We've just been really focused on our holiday mini sessions, because I also have a photography service. So we've been doing a lot of photography, a lot of networking right now. We're not really raking in any. This place really isn't financially based. This isn't to make $1 million. This is to offer something to the community. If we can just break even, I'm happy. But we haven't really been able to do that yet. But it's okay. There's a plan. I saw this place. I had a vision of this place, and I think that I think that we as people will be able to come together as long as we use our heads and we're intelligent and we care about the next person. I think we'll be through this soon enough, and hopefully our doors will still be open.
Now, do you have any plans for shows in the future? This current show, as you said, is running till the end of the year, mm-hmm. but for 2021.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a Ride, Rust, and Redemption. We got a Scott Carabulet, who he builds rat bikes and makes different kind of art. I guess you would say crude art. Industrial things, welding things together. So it's going to be called Ride, Rust, and Redemption. So we're going to have like several of his rat bike motorcycles here on display. And then the call for artists is going to be anything involving recovery, and whether it's recovery from a bad relationship, recovery from chemical dependency, recovering from cancer, or whatever, anything that artists have created to try to speak about recovery. That's going to be the next call, I think.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see that one. And I want to make sure to get down here before the end of the year to see Failings and Healings. Where are you located on Front Street?
Okay, so if we were talking about 2109, the old studio, I'm almost directly across the street. So we're in Broad Boulevard and Portage Trail on the side where the amphitheater is. And we are directly across the street from Asterix Coffee and the Crave Cantina. So right by the old Woolworths building and the red parking deck.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And overall, with being here in the Falls, what is your favorite part of the Falls, working or living here?
I remember coming here a lot. I grew up in Stowe, but for whatever reason, we used to hang out here at the river. And just watching it transform from what it was 30 years ago to what it is today is just, it's just incredible. And it's definitely like got to be one of the most picturesque places in Ohio. So it offers so many things for photographers. Like you said, there's always photographers walking up and down Front Street with clients all the time. Like, it's a regular thing. But, you know, what's had the most impact on me since I moved in here is the community's willingness to work together. You get the Jenks building down the street and Mike Owen, and he's an awesome dude, and he's very welcoming and willing to help out. The people from Upfront Art Space and Danielle over at Cauga Valley Art Center, like, everybody has welcomed me and not looked at me as some kind of like competition or whatever. So it seems as though egos are pushed to the side, competition is pushed to the side, and there's a real sense of community within the artists here in Cauga Falls. And I'm really happy about that, because I was kind of worried. You know, sometimes you bring an industry into an area where there's a couple other competitors, and you know, sometimes maybe it could go sour or go south. But I've met nothing but Downtown Cauga Falls Partnership, Kaylee Piper, Laura, the Chamber of Commerce, everybody's just been really, really helpful to us. And hopefully we can give some of that back.
Well, especially with art, everyone has different, not only different perceptions of art, but different renditions. So no matter which art gallery you go to, there's always something different.
Yeah, it's great.
So there never really is a competition with art, unless it's literally an art competition.
Right, well said.
Well, perfect. We hope to see more from New Milk Studios and from you here in the future. And I hope this interview will go up after opening weekend for the show, but I hope everyone goes and checks out Feelings and Healing over at New Milk Studios. And while you're down there, check out everything that's going on downtown. I know everyone's sort of shuttered inside with COVID, but there's definitely things, as long as you're wearing your mask, go down there and check out.
Yeah, that's another thing is even the pedestrians walking up and down Front Street are wearing masks. The stores around here all seem to be super conscious and sanitary and cleaning. And I know after we have visitors, we wipe down the tables and the door handles and the areas where people were at. So if you are one of those people that is brave enough to come out here, I think that this area, from observing everybody around me, seems to be as safety conscious as anywhere.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the show this week. And like I said, everyone go check out New Milk Studios down on Front Street. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Barton. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress or @falls_free on Twitter or Instagram. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Alex Hall. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so that they can listen as well.